Yep. Given the fact that we want to get started because we also want to get going, let's launch into this. Thank you, everybody that's able to be here this afternoon for the last meeting of the week, which is Tuesday. All right. I call to order the meeting of the House Education Policy Committee, and there is a quorum present. Our first order of business will be approving the minutes from Wednesday, February 15th. And Representative Lee, have you had a chance to review the minutes and to move them?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have reviewed the minutes diligently and move to approve the committee's minutes from February 15th.
All right. Thank you, Representative Lee. Any discussion of the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Hearing no opposition, minutes are approved. All right. So, yes, the minutes from Wednesday, February 15th are approved. And our first bill is Representative Keeler. We have a bill that combines some ideas that we've heard some before, some ideas that were also introduced separately, and so we're going to do this combined presentation for legislation relating to Indian education. And our House author is Representative Keeler. And they're going to get settled in and ready for the presentation, the bill presentation. Representative Keeler, would you like to introduce your bill to be before the committee? And our intention is to re-refer the House File 1875 to the Education Finance Committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My chair feels really low to the ground. I feel like a little kid sitting here, but it's fine. Okay, so today we are talking about House File 1875.
And our first is to move it before the committee to be referred. And
yep.
That is your motion?
That is my motion.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. All right, so we have the committee, we have the bill before us. And Representative Keeler, please introduce your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I've said it in many spaces and for many years now that I came to the legislature because of my work as an Indian education liaison. Education is something that I'm deeply passionate about because it is really the path for us to be able to become what we dream of in Minnesota and in our region. And coming from that lens of life, it's been really interesting sitting at education policy now for my second term. And so what we originally did is we had some smaller bills that we all believe really matter. But what we have done is we've partnered with what was in the governor's package around Indian education, and we've combined that so that it's just one bill, one conversation, and one space. But we do want to present it dually with Representative Kozlowski and I, because we both came to this space for different reasons, different paths, different experiences. I think it's really important that our next generation really see us doing this work and having these conversations. I've said it in many spaces that I have 4 diplomas. I graduated from high school. I have an associate's, a bachelor's, and a master's, and I've never seen a teacher at the front of the classroom who ever looks like me. And subliminally, that always told me that I didn't belong, and I've shared on the House floor and publicly that that actually led me to attempt suicide, and that is detrimental to the future of our next generations. And so we have put together a really extensive package. I think what we'll probably do is have the department walk through the bill, and then we do have some testifiers. We have Secretary Sam Strong, who, because of weather, is like trying to get back to the Red Lake Nation. So when he jumps on, if we can maybe just be kind of fluid in what that looks like so that he can share his testimony and then continue to drive, if that sounds okay with you, Madam Chair.
Yes, I think that sounds like a great plan for this afternoon, and whatever flexibility we need for all the members and all of our testifiers today, we're certainly willing to make those allowances. So then I take it to our next testifier. We'll turn now to from our representative from MDE, Mr. Uni.
Yep. Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Adosh Uni. I am the Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota Department of Education. And first, I'd like to thank Representatives Keeler and Kozlowski for their leadership here today and bringing this bill forward, these very important policy and some budget proposals that we'll briefly discuss, but focus mostly on the policy proposals. And I'll try to be as brief as possible to allow for testimony to happen, but I wanted to be able to cover these while we have this spotlight here on these important proposals. And also, thank you to Dr. Harstad and the amazing and growing Office of American Indian Education team for leading on so many of these issues and proposals year after year. This bill includes a range of policy and budget changes intended to support American Indian students, recognize their unique academic and cultural identities and needs in the space of education, the need to make sure that all students understand the histories and contributions of American Indians in Minnesota, and enhance clarity on existing provisions related to American Indian education aid and programming. The first set of policy proposals focuses on creating a supportive teaching and learning environment for American Indian students, educators, families, and communities. A welcoming school experience is critical to academic success and opening up opportunities for all students. First proposed, providing more clear permissions related to sacred tobacco. American Indians have used traditional tobacco for centuries for ceremonial, religious, and healing purposes. And this bill would allow American Indian students to carry a medicine pouch containing loose tobacco as part of traditional spiritual cultural practices without having to worry about any type of discipline for the actual carrying of tobacco on school grounds. The bill language also makes it clear that American Indian students may wear items of cultural and religious significance at graduation ceremonies, items such as an eagle feather, a recognition for significant contribution to the community, and is also a sign of academic success. And I'll just say briefly, you know, almost all of our school districts are able to allow or willingly allow their American Indian students to wear these items of cultural significance, but every year we do hear of instances where there is not a permissive, there is not permission to be able to wear these items of cultural significance. All students statewide deserve a consistent expectation that they'll be able to wear these items of cultural significance at graduation ceremonies. So hearing about this even once is something that should be corrected. And this will create clear direction not only to our students and our families, but also for schools that this is allowed. So there's no issue of confusion in this space. We also propose a change to how Minnesota schools handle mascots. Not all mascots obviously honor American Indian people, and in some cases do project a negative image of them. The characters and stereotypes of American Indian mascots can be harmful and, of course, perpetuate negative stereotypes. So this bill would prohibit a public school district or charter from adopting a name, symbol, or image of an American Indian tribe, custom, or tradition as a mascot, nickname, logo, letterhead, or team name. But a process is provided here so that an exemption to the prohibition can be sought if a community feels the mascot is not derogatory or harmful, and that process would engage the 11 tribal nations and the tribal nations education.
Mr. Uni?
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. And remember where you were, because you were making a very important point. And
of course.
We would like to return to it because we do have a testifier that now is on the road and would like to join us via Zoom, right, on our remote. So. Please, Secretary Sam Strong, if you can hear us now, unmute yourself, identify yourself, and please proceed. And welcome to the committee. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. I am on the road. I'm actually in Motley. I wanted to beat the storm before it came and hit the area. So, but real quickly, I just wanted to talk a little bit about Indian education and what it means for Red Lake. You know, for us, we've been dealing with educational issues for, you know, decades, if not centuries. You know, it started with the boarding schools, and it really has culminated in really poor outcomes when it comes to education for our Native kids. And I think it's important to recognize why those disparities exist. You know, what we found through our research is when Natives have their identity and when they're able to practice their cultural ways within the educational setting, it shows great success. When we're able to talk about who we are and learn about our history through the lens of Native people, we are very interested, right? And we gain that not only attention to education, but also it gives us our identity back, you know. And for many years, I know some of you have learned about, like, what it meant to, you know, the whole kill the Indian, save the man mantra of the federal government. That's what has been perpetuated really for too many years. And so this is really about righting those wrongs and giving us a chance for identity, giving us a chance to speak our languages and have our language teachers come into the school system and really teach us not only within our language, there's so much more. It's about these lessons of life. It's about how to overcome adversity, show love to Mother Earth, and that reciprocity that exists within all of our way of life. And so we always say that the language is just a tool to teach who we are. And so these kinds of teachings and allowing for our educators to come in is what creates success for Native students. And it's been shown this. You know, we have a lot of successful schools that where you see, you know, a lot of students ultimately not doing well in surrounding schools. These schools that have this cultural principle are very much successful, and we see attainment into higher education. We see really just overall success, and, you know, we're nurturing the individual, not just them as a student, but them as a person and how they're going to, you know, change the cycles that we've been faced with as Native people for really decades. And so I think the more we can do to right those wrongs, the better. And this is an opportunity to start embedding these philosophies that allow us to practice our way of life and do it in a healthy way that is successful for everyone, because it's important that other people understand who we are too. And so this really is about healing our state and making right the wrongs of the past. And so Miigwetch for taking the time to hear me out, and thank you for allowing me to talk as soon as I logged in on here today. Miigwetch.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. I think it actually, we gained something from the impact of seeing the outdoor scene and hearing those words. So thank you. And now, please proceed, Mr. Yoni.
Madam Chair, thank you. And again, for the record, Adosh Uni, Minister of the Department of Education. I was just completing comments on the process that the bill would propose for allowing or an exemption from the mascot prohibition. And again, just to repeat that, the process would engage the 11 tribal nations and the Tribal Nations Education Committee, or TNEC, who would sign off on the ability of a district or public district or charter to be able to have a mascot. But that would be considered an exemption from the prohibition that the bill would put forward. Moving on to academic standards and what all students would receive in the classroom. This bill adds provisions around the development and implementation of Indigenous education for all. Specifically, it strengthens and clarifies language on what is embedded in the academic standards related to Indigenous education and how feedback is received. The bill language would also provide a definition of what an Indigenous Education for All program should look like and accomplish, including a report to the legislature on a needs assessment to inform the development of future resources. The bill would also add TNEC and Minnesota's Tribal Nations to the list of representatives the commissioner is required to consult with during the academic standards revision process. This is already occurring, but this would make it formal and ensures consistency going forward, or as we like to say, make it commissioner proof. The bill would also require that a district or school that receives American Indian education aid and serves more than 100 state identified American Indian students provide American Indian culture and language classes with a portion of that funding. Districts in the state with 100 or more state identified American Indian students also are currently required to have a community coordinator under statute. That's 124D.76. And this language in the bill would change the statute to ensure that the full or part-time position is dedicated to American Indian education programming versus being an add-on or additional duty to an employee with other main job duties. Next, there are cleanup changes to clarify that the state-identified definition of American Indian student is used for education of those students. This ensures that American Indian students who identify as more than one race are properly identified as American Indian which the federal count does not do. So this is really about an accurate count of who our American Indian students are, and does, and then provides, and that will help assure that resources are provided to districts and charters for the number of American Indian students that they actually have, as well as districts and charters are fully understand the students who deserve to have that programming or do need that programming that should be targeted towards them. And then another policy proposal we have is we're providing some clarifications on the role of the American Indian Education Director at MDE. These are one of the positions at the department that is actually established in the statute, and there are a range of responsible roles and responsibilities that that director has. We provide some clarifications there to recognize that there are multiple roles or duties that that director has, but there are, with the growing department and resources that we have, growing division, and resources that we have there, and the growing duty and importance of duties that that director has. We now have a tribal liaison here. Ms. Franks is with us today, and some of those duties are spelled out as part of the director's roles. We know that those roles should be allocated for that liaison as well. So this allows us to dedicate not only more resources, but more attention for this important work that the division oversees. The bill also proposes a range of reforms to improve American Indian parent advisory committees in terms of how they function and who participates in them. Districts or schools receiving American Indian education aid are required to have these parent advisory committees to guide district decisions on how to invest those funds and support American Indian students. The changes in the bill would make sure that the members are the parents or guardians of American Indian children, clarify that the state definition is used for purposes of determining when a committee must exist, and provide a process for committees to review program offerings extended to American Indian students. The bill also would make clear that educational data may be disclosed to tribal nations about tribally enrolled or descendant students. I believe the committee has heard this bill before, but just as a reminder, we know that many districts do a good job of sharing data with their tribal nations partners, but sometimes due to maybe overly cautious legal advice, we at the department believe that tribal nations do qualify under the data practices statute as an entity that is allowed to receive this private educational data for the benefit of the students who are tribally enrolled or descendant students, but due to some overly cautious legal advice, some districts believe that since tribal nations are not explicitly listed in that statute that currently has 17 uses or entities that can, that they are not able to share the private educational data with the tribal nations, and so we'd ask for tribal nations to be explicitly added to the statute. This would allow them to be able to access data that MDE doesn't get on a daily basis, like attendance data, where tribal nations really are, with their relationships and the closeness of being part of the community, are much better set up to offer help to students and families to get students back on track. That's just one example of the benefit on a day-to-day basis that we could get from this statute change. There are also, just to finish off moving away from policy, just very briefly, just so we know the totality of the bill, there are a couple budget proposals. One is some additional funding for the Minnesota Indian Teacher Training Program, which provides specific grants for American Indian teacher candidates, and then also a policy change that would allow the grants to be spent over 5 years, which aligns more with the 4 to 5 year college experience, and provides a lot of relief for these teacher candidates that they'll get coverage from these grants over their college experience rather than just a small portion. We're also proposing an increase to American Indian education aid. That'll be about $13.5 million in the first biennium and about $15 million in the second biennium, and would also extend the funding to joint powers districts. And it would make clear that American Indian Education Aid can only be used for non-Native students after all American Indian students' specific cultural and academic needs are met. We also propose funding on a yearly basis and ongoing for Native language revitalization grants. These would allow districts to begin offering language instruction in Dakota and Anishinaabe languages or other indigenous languages to the United States or Canada, and the grants will be used to fund teacher and course materials. And then finally, we're proposing a tribal Head Start set aside to make sure that tribal Head Start programs have stable funding. And with that, Madam Chair, committee members, that concludes the walkthrough of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Uni. All right. We also have testimony from Cindy Milda. And once you're settled in, you can identify yourself, the organization that you represent, and proceed with your testimony.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, ha mataki api shante washte na pichuza ye ma dakote ye shakpe mede wakantuan o yate he mataha. Excuse me there. Amos and Rose Crux tioshpa e he mataha dakote ia pichuza yuha maniwi de mie washichu ia Cindy Milda imaki api ye. In Dakota, I said, hello, my relatives. I greet you with a good heart and a warm handshake. I am Dakota, and my homelands are the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community, and I come from the Amos and Rose Crooks family. My Dakota name is Walks with Medicine Woman, and my English name is Cindy Milda, and I am the Public Education Program Coordinator for the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community, or SMSC. That's my introduction. And I know many of you have heard that before, but in Dakota, that is how we are taught to introduce ourselves. So I apologize that it's so long. No, I'm not. I'm going to take that back. I don't apologize that it's so long. That's who we are as Dakota people, and that's how we do our introduction. So I thank you for that time, and just that little lesson there as well. I am here to testify in favor of House File 1875. My role with SMSC is to share our community's story with groups from school and church groups to senior citizen and youth groups. So I kind of looked at the bill, and it's a very big bill, and like I said, I'm very in favor for it. I have served on Shakopee's education committee for many, many years, retired a little bit, came back, decided to do our public education program coordinator. Education keeps finding its way back into my life. So I took out some certain pieces in here that I have specific knowledge about and actually experiences with. And so that's what you'll hear today. Sacred is tobacco is what we call chinchasha. A lot of you may not know what it is, but it's red willow, or more commonly known as dogwood. I carry a little pouch with me on most days. Chinchasha is one of our four sacred medicines that we use as the indigenous people. There are teachings with every medicine that we have, and one of those is that it's kind of like a protection that we carry with us, and that's why our students, that's why all of us carry it in different ways. Some carry it outside of their shirt, some carry it inside and hide it. It just depends on the individual person, on how they were taught. And we all have different teachings. We all come from different families and areas that we've all learned different ways. Prohibiting a public school district or charter from adopting a name, school, image of an American Indian tribe, custom, tradition as a mascot, nickname, logo, letterhead, or team name for district or school without a tribe's consent is inexcusable in this day and age. A story I share in our public exhibit is of a tribal member who tried out for Shakopee's Indian Princess program. She had the nice long black hair, a dark complexion, and probably should have been chosen. They chose another student, put on a long dark-haired wig, painted her face with dark paint, put on a bonnet on her along with an Indian dress costume. The member then left the school at Shakopee Indians, where Shakopee Indians is who we were up until 1993. She left the school that same year, and she went to a boarding school in South Dakota. I currently serve on MIEA, the Minnesota Indian Education Association Board. I think it is very important for the commissioner to listen to what TNAC has to say about our children. They know and work with our children on a daily basis. They are in the schools with the children. American Indian language, culture, and American Indian culture and language classes are very important for our children to learn. My grandmother was a boarding school survivor from the Pipestone Indian School in Minnesota. She didn't want her children and grandchildren to go through the same treatment she received when she went to school. Her hands were slapped for speaking her first language, Dakota. She got in trouble when she went home to see her father on the rare occasions that she did because she was speaking English. Her father only knew Dakota. I remember him as a little girl, and as a little girl playing around him and me using the language, the English language, he would always point his finger and he would always shake his head no, because he didn't want us speaking that. But my grandmother didn't want to share our Dakota language because she knew that we would get in trouble because she had to go through that same treatment. So my grandmother did not teach us the language or most of the culture out of fear of institutional racism. At 56 years old, I am learning my Dakota language along with my husband, children, and grandchildren. I would like my grandchildren... I'm going to get emotional again here. I did this morning, but I'm going to get emotional here today because my granddaughter sitting back there wanted to come today to see what her grandma does. And so I'm very honored that I get to do this in front of her because not a lot of Dakota women get to do this. And be in this very building where all the laws and everything that's made for Minnesota, we don't get this opportunity. And so I brought her with so she can see what she can do in the future and what the future has in store for her, because I know she has big ideas and she's very interested into law and policies and everything like that. And so I brought my granddaughter to see what I am now able to do that my grandmother was not able to do. My mother was not able to do. So I just say I would like, you know, my grandchildren to be able to learn this language, learn our Dakota language, who they are as Dakota people. But also I'd like to have them wear their traditional clothing, their feathers that they have earned through their lifetime when they graduate high school. And when they go on to college and graduate as well. It is something myself and my siblings were not able to do. I ask you to let our future generations have the chances we did not have because of fear of our grandparents had for us, because of the institutional racism. Please support House File 1875 for our future generations so they do not have to go through the same fights that we had to go through. Pidama yaye. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Thank you. Right, so this is what we do. And it makes a difference to have you come forward and tell your story from your experience and say, these are the things that matter to me, but most importantly, to our future. And that's what grandmothers do for granddaughters, so.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So we are, we're figuring it out, and we'll turn now to Representative Kozbalski for further testimony on this bill.
Thank you, Chair Pryor, and the members of this committee. Buju Ozawa Anakwad, Magizin and Dodem, Masabi Kong and Dunjaba, Minawa Nagaji Wanang, Minawa Gichi and Gaming, Pizandao Yeg, Mikchi Wendam, Odapana Osema. I greeted you all as my relatives, and that is truly what, as Indigenous people, sovereignty means to us, is that every single thing has spirit, and every single thing is connected. And I also said that my Ojibwe name is Yellow Cloud. I am Eagle Clan. I'm from the Grand Portage and Fond du Lac reservations, but I live in Duluth. And it is a good day to be here to talk about education. And also the bill that has been folded in here was, as Ojibwe people call it, is a SEMA, It's a good day to talk about tobacco. And I'm here as the grandchild of a grandma who worked for 25 years in Indian education. My grandma and my aunties are known as the grandmothers of Indian Ed up north in Duluth. And it's because of the foundations that has been built, and many thanks to the Department of Education, to our American Indian families and students, to our tribal nations, who have been working to serve the unique needs of our American Indian peoples for many years, that I'm here. As Representative Keeler talked about, the difficulties of being in spaces, especially schools, where our first interaction as Native peoples through boarding school, of which my grandma was a survivor. I'm really proud to be here to speak about tobacco, but also as you're jotting down a few notes about just what the impact and the enormity of this slate of bills would mean for our families. And I did just want to share about, you know, Native people have a long history with traditional tobacco, and it's tied into all of this as our original medicine. You know, and stepping back to say that it's what we do. It's central to everything, to our cultural practices, to our ways of being. A lot of times in the way I was taught, the first thing that you do in the morning is you get up and you put out your sema, you say your name, you greet your clan, and you announce yourself to the world. It's what helps us to know who we are, who we come from, and where we're going. And the one thing I also wanted to draw your attention to is that traditional tobacco is not like commercial tobacco at all. It's not smoked, it's not inhaled, it doesn't have nicotine in it. So referencing the smoke-free generation letter of support, it's very different. It doesn't have additives. And we have a long history with this as a medicine. But as we also heard, is that we also have a long history of assimilation and extermination policies that have really sought to remove us from our land and our culture, from our people and each other. And so while we've had this devastation and there are scars, certainly, I just really want to say that our culture and our practices, the use of our medicines, our cultural ways of being and life ways, they didn't ever go anywhere. We've kept them going, as we've heard. And I want to make that really clear. And while we're working to pick up, and I call this the reclamation chapter, we have many people who do have that culture keeping and culture bearing, and that's, in fact, how we measure wealth as Indigenous peoples, is not by how much you gather and collect, but how much we give away. And I think about it as what we're doing here for our children, so that we don't pass on the weight of our history to them, and that's the impact of this bill. You know, my daughter was here yesterday, and she gives a language there. And I think about the kids in the Masabekong Ojibwe program that our community is really lucky to have. In fact, I believe one of the only language immersion programs within our public schools, run by one of the mentees of my grandmothers and aunties. And every day, you know, I ask the kids, what is it that you do with our medicines? And how is it that language is important? They were too shy to come and talk. But they told me that it's really important. Because when they start their day out, tobacco, and they smudge and they use our medicines and our language, and they go around and they do what we just did. They say their name, they say their clan, they announce themselves to the world, and it also is a time that they get to say, this is what's really scaring me, you know, math and science and learning and reading is kind of tricky, or there's this thing going on with the kids at school, or something, you know, my auntie's sick. And they also get to say what they're proud of and what their dreams and their hopes are. And in that way, in starting out using their cultural practices, my kids actually went out and they snared a rabbit last week. They made snares in class, and they went out with their tobacco, and they put that out as an offering, as a thanks for the rabbit that gave its life for them. And I think about how our grandmas and our grandpas and our family members had that all stripped away. And there's no language, there's no word in our language that says to undo, but there's a lot of language about how to restore, how to repair, and how to pour back into. So in this unique time where we're reclaiming
our culture and our power of our ways of being. I just thank you for the opportunity to hear us and to support this really important slate that is going to make sure that our kids and our families are healthy and have really bright futures. Miigwech.
We do have President Robert Larson on Zoom, if that is appropriate at this time. All right. President Larson, if you can hear us right now, please unmute, identify yourself, and proceed. And welcome to the committee.
Well, how me talk you up? Dakota, you know, the donkey chopped on Tommy, I do. Itancha, chancha yapi, and Damakota, wahinkpe to wahe mie. I said, hello, my relatives. My Dakota name takes more than a day to actually explain and very, very loosely translates to rolling bull. When that lead bull sees like a storm coming or a problem, gathers the herd and faces that storm, and when the storm is over and sees that everything is good, then he's wallowing and kicking up dirt in a celebration. So that's the very short version of my name. I'm president here at Lower Sioux in Dakota. I come from the Arrowhead Making clan. And my English name is Robert Larson. I thank you for your time, Chair Pryor. And Representative Keeler, appreciate you asking me to be part of this, because this is very near and dear. We've put a lot of work into this, so thank you for allowing me time. I just want to start out by saying that Lower Sioux is very proud of being the first tribe to have a joint powers agreement with MDE for Indian Education for All to try to compile and make learning lessons about us. We're also very proud to have worked hard with our local school districts in the past years, and we have, when they have their professional development days, every other year they spend one full day out here with us and learn from us. And that's everyone from the school board, the teachers, the cooks, the janitors, the school bus drivers, everybody is involved. So I do come from a little bit of experience with this, that it's such a positive. And a few minutes is not enough to change anyone's mind or to teach anything, but I'm going to do the best I can and just want to share possibly a different way of seeing things, a different perspective, if you will. When I was growing up, we lived in Redwood Falls, which is the close town where our biggest school is, school district, and I got along with everyone. I had friends, not just in the neighborhood, but every class. We had four or five different classes of my age, so I got along with everyone. And there's a project you have in class in first grade where they had us go home and figure out what makes you, your nationalities, your French, German, whatever it is, and to come back. And so I asked my mom and my dad, and I talked to my grandparents, and I got the list. And I came back and I shared that I was Dakota. I was an Indian kid. And from that day on, I lost friends. And I don't say this to get sympathy or anything, but this is the way it has been around here. That I was growing up, there was only two of us that were Dakota in the whole school. And the other one was 2 years older than me, so it wasn't like we hung out a lot. And from that day, you know, you have summer rec and swimming lessons and baseball. And from my house to get to those places, we're in the same neighborhood, is about 6 to 8 blocks, depending on the path you take. And I used to be able to ride my bike and go straight there and even pick up friends on the way. But after that day, I had to run a gauntlet to get to practice, because there was a group of boys that learned that I was Indian now and it wasn't okay, so I got chased. And they caught me a couple times, I won't lie, but it wasn't pretty. and this is grade school. This is first grade, second grade, third grade. So this bill hopefully would be able to teach everybody at least a little more about us, that we're people, that we're not just the people that you learned about the uprising, which happened to be right here in our backyard, where our community is, that we weren't just those bad people that killed people, that we're humans, that we had scholars, we had doctors, we had mathematicians, we had everything. I'd like to share, I've got a non-Indian friend, got him through playing in our pool league, but he was a staunch Republican, and until he saw a post of mine on Facebook, and he reached out personally to ask more about it, and to, because it wasn't something he'd ever heard or even thought about before, but it was about our Dakota way of life. And ever since then, now he's finding things and talking to me and sharing with his son. He showed me a post, two of them he had just yesterday. I actually saw him last night, and he showed me, he said, "Deuce, I just want to tell you that what's going on in this world," he said, "because if I don't show my son this and teach him, how's he ever going to learn about it?" And it, unfortunately, it was about the Wounded Knee Massacre was one of them, one of the largest massacres in the country's history. But just learning a little bit has given him a whole different perspective, and even as far as his children go, that he's trying to teach them that we all need to get along. Like I said, our school district comes out every other year for a full day, and we set the criteria for their professional development, which has, you know, it's not perfect, but it has improved relations for our children, all of our children, not just the Native kids, all the kids that go to school there. We want to be able to make all the kids feel welcome and learn about us just like we learn about everyone else. And whether that's that you have to or that you get to, I guess, is your own perspective about going to school. But this even goes into, we've got judges that don't know because they were never given the chance to learn, that don't follow federal Indian law with the Indian Child Welfare Act. We have a case where the judge said on record that he didn't know anything about it with a child that had ties to here. So I'm not laying this out to make anyone feel bad, and that's not what any of this is about. It's about trying to improve our relations between all of us. Because one thing that I've learned, and I believe in my heart, is, you know, you have these beliefs, but when you know, when you learn better and know better, you should do better. And that's all we're trying to do with this, is to be able to let people understand who we are. Parts of this bill deal with the truancy. I saw we employed a truancy officer to go to our school because that's something we've been battling. And we just wanted that information to be, and they couldn't share that information with our employee because he wasn't a school employee. So to get through that so that we can actually get these kids to school and get them to have a chance to learn and be successful and be good parts of society. We've got parts with the mascot issue. We've got a local school here that is named the Indians, that it seemed like in the beginning, you know, or when we first looked at it, they had a website, and it seemed like they tried. You know, they were trying to be good about it. They weren't being facetious or judgmental or anything like that, because the town is named after a chief, Sleepy Eye. But they're the Sleepy Eye Indians. But on their website, it claimed that Sleepy Eye was an Ojibwe chief. So when we called and asked, you know, we wanted to have consultation with them, they denied us the consultation, but then they took that off their website. They didn't fix it. They just took it off. They don't have a large enough native population, and they're 20 some miles away from us, so it's not like we have the consultation policy. I guess with that, I probably am at my time, but I want to thank you for the hard work, Rep. Keeler. I appreciate you. Committee, I appreciate your time. And with that, I say pidami ado. Thank you. Hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. And we appreciate the words that you've shared so that we can learn better, know better, and do better. Thank you.
Is that it for Tessa? We think we might have anything else to make?
No. Okay. I think that's all our remote testifiers that have been able to join. Okay. Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Geez, just really been emotional, right?
Yeah, it's been.
About this work. So I want to share an experience that I had with all of you around the first time I really realized what racism looked like. It was in my third grade class, and it was right before a holiday many of you celebrate as Thanksgiving. And it was a picture that was horrific about individuals who look like me. And maybe, probably no surprise, I was bold then, just as I am now. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to color that picture. I'll find any other picture to color. I would explain why we don't celebrate that holiday in the same manner. And it escalated to the superintendent to a point where I was going to fail third grade because of this. And then, I mean, that was November, so the rest of the school year was really, really difficult. And that continued on. It continued on in teachers saying that my story didn't matter, that we don't actually belong here, that we're made up, and that went on and on and on. And when I decided to run, I promised the 8-year-old Heather that I was going to do everything that I could so that kids don't feel invisible in our school system. It is the one place that everybody goes and that everybody should feel safe and seen. And so the combination of this bill, we could have put a bunch of small things together. But the reality is that there are a million little Heathers in the world who need this. And we don't even know them. I've said it in a whole lot of spaces that when we do this work, we do it for 7 generations. You don't know who your next generations are. So a couple of the things that I want to highlight in this, because other members have done work in this. This is not my bill. This is our bill. And being able to, even just the difference between last year and this year, being able to sit here and have a colleague next to me who understands this as well, to have an auntie next to me who understands this work compassionately, to have individuals show up with us from across the nation in the middle of a blizzard, you know, matters. And we matter in this space. So I worked in Indian education for a long time. And one of the things that's really struggling is when we want to wear eagle feathers for graduation. You all know the graduation rates. We don't graduate at the same rates as other people. It is a massive accomplishment. It was considered a massive accomplishment when we even made it to 8th grade. So when we were told over and over, and my district was one that really liked the uniform look of just all your black graduation caps, don't mess anything up from a picture up above, it looks great when we're all wearing our black graduation hats. And we argued back a lot that people worked really hard to earn eagle feathers. It's not just something like NASCAR, you know, decorations on the top of your hat. It's sacred, and that matters. With the tobacco in 1979, and I'm not going to age any of you, but some of you may have been born, but that is when it was actually legal for us to practice our religion, which I argue it's not a religion, but that's what it's called. It's our spirituality. So we're reclaiming that. We're still here. We're alive and well. We didn't go away. We weren't exterminated like many of these policies expected us to be. We're here. We're thriving. Our next generations know the language better than us. So it's a package deal because our kids matter and our next generations matter. And I appreciate you all taking the time to maneuver today so that your Greater Minnesota member can try to get home too. But happy to have open, honest conversations about this. I think that it's really important that we educate not only about the history of who we are, but the current reality and the future of who we are. We are here making history on a regular basis, and our kids in Minnesota deserve to know about that. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. We'll be happy to answer any questions.
All right. We're going to turn to member discussion and questions at this point. And I know Representative Bennett, you'll need, will need to be leaving. And thank you for staying as long as you have. And I know that you have a drive ahead, too. Chair Joaquin.
I just want to thank you for all the work you've done on this and the people before you for the years that we've been trying to get more of this stuff passed. It's been 4 years since I was at policy chair and we had some of these provisions. I love seeing this as a package.
I'm sorry. And, I wasn't sure if we could hear you.
Oh, and I love seeing it as a package, and I'm excited to see it come towards ed finance. And I'll dig more into the details of the ed finance side so I can understand it when it comes before us. But just thank you. Thank you for sharing your stories. Actually, I should say, Shane, thank you for sharing your life experiences, because it's more than stories. It means more than stories.
Mm-hmm. Representative Egbert.
Thank you to the two of you for the, oh, sorry, Madam Chair. thank you for the good work you did with this. When President Larson was speaking, and he talked about when we know better, we can do better. And I think about if we apply that to just all areas of our life and having the mindset of learning from each other, I'll be honest, I got a little nervous when I saw the tobacco piece in the bill. And I went right away to all of the things that could happen with tobacco. So, Representative Klozowski, when you talked about this letter and you referenced it, it's an example of me learning about the importance of sacred tobacco. So thank you for that. Thank you for this. It helped me get better today as a human being. So thank you for that. And then I'll be able to share with other administrators that this isn't a vape. This isn't like the kid, you know, busting up the cigarette and putting it in a pouch and that. I'm assuming that's not, that would still be, we would still suspend kids or discipline a kid for that. But this is a learning piece. So I just want to say thank you for that. And I'm not sure if President Larson is on, but just that mindset of if we know better, we can do better. So thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to thank Vice Chair Keeler and another committee, but Rep Keeler and Rep Kozlowski for carrying this bill. It's super important. And I just want to comment because in my district, we had students who worked really hard to organize and make sure that they could smudge in the same public school districts. And so I think it was a really good exercise in civic engagement for them, but I really hope that, you know, our students don't have to try so hard to be seen and to, you know, be their full authentic selves. And so thank you for carrying this bill.
Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you so much for this. It's been amazing. And Representative Keeler, I wanna just say I apologize on behalf, I'm a teacher, on behalf of teachers for the way you were treated as a young person, as a child. That was so wrong. And I'm very sorry for that. That should never, ever have happened. It should never happen again. So I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you. And I just want to say, I think honoring culture is amazing. And the Native American culture, are the tribal people of this area and even beyond, have always... I have loved that culture since I've been a little girl. I can't even remember how young I was, and love to read about it, learn the language, and I'm going to massacre your words probably, but I want to say Igwich and Pilamaye, and just honor you in that. Thank you. And I just wrote some notes of what I want to add, but I think it's important to support culture and honor that. And in our tribal schools and non-tribal schools, I like this. And there are so many things that we've done in the past that have been very wrong. And we need to move forward and do the right things. So thank you for this. Thank you for all the people who have testified. I do want to say, I think even the funds, this also includes extra funds for our tribal schools, correct? And I think that's important. I think it's important to allow children in their school of choice, which tribal schools are, to embrace their culture and their spiritual beliefs, because that's how they are, and their language. How important to get that language. I have some very good friends, Anishinaabe First Nation people in Canada, and that was, and I used to go there many years in a row, and one of the concerns was our children are losing their language. And when you lose your language, you really do lose your culture, too. So I appreciate that that is an important part. And so I just want to say I hope we can do this even for more cultures and allow education to fit the child and the needs. So thanks for bringing all these things forward, and it's been very interesting. And I apologize for having to leave for the second half, but I'm from Greater Minnesota, and I kind of need to head home, or I'll be stuck here for 2 days. So,
should we then you vote on the bill and closing remarks, and then we'll be able to send this bill to Ed Fine as we refer. Closing remark.
It's a good bill. I appreciate the open conversation. It's interesting over my life, the shift in where we've gone in owning the history of this land and really being open and honest about how we heal and move forward. And so I have appreciated actually the conversations I've been having in this space, because I believe, as President Larson said, when we know better, we do better. And we are here to help educate and to prove that we're just beautiful, good people in this world. Thank you.
Thank you. And I know personally I'm going to go back and watch everything and just write down the quotes, really inspirational words that we've heard today. And I appreciate everybody that has spoken. Now we get to do our business, which is we are advancing this bill. And it will be heard in another committee. And eventually probably will become part of the final education bill, but I think that's where it belongs. It could belong in many things, but if it does belong in just that one education bill, we know that it's part of public education and it's part of Minnesota's future. So members, we are voting on the motion to re-refer House File 1875 to Education Finance. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Thank you.
I do encourage everybody to stay if you can, because Indian Education is going to do an overview, which I do think is really important for those of you who can safely stay. Thank you.
Yeah. And this next section, again, is for our education of understanding how we're being led right now, and we do have the department in the section within Department of Education on Indian education, and that's what our presentation is on next. If you're not able to stay because you're hitting the road, this is also something that will be available for future viewing. All right. Well, welcome. We have Dr. Jane Harstead, on American Indian Education. She is the director of the Office of American Indian Education
at the Minnesota Department of Education. So please state your name officially for the record and proceed with your presentation. And thank you so much for being with us today.
Miigwech. Ani Nguju. Nio Benesikwe Indigo Ojibwemo. Gamasquavikang in Donjaba. Idashande Ashki Bagzibing in the Yandanongom. Ogishki Manasina Nudeng. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. My English name is Dr. Jane Harstead, and I am the Director of American Indian Education at the Minnesota Department of Education. I'm an enrolled member of the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Anishinaabe. I have been at MDE since 2017. Previous to my tenure there, I have been an elementary education teacher, an administrator, and involved in research with Indian education. I'd like to thank you for hearing our presentation today so that you can better be able to assist in the educational outcomes for American Indian students, their families, and their communities. American Indian students in Minnesota need your support. Our students have been marginalized and have been invisible for many years. Together, we can change their trajectory. MDE works on our 10 commitments to equity every day for all students. But the Office of American Indian Education works on these 10 commitments every single day. Educational equity is a condition of justice, fairness, and inclusion in our systems of education so that all students have access to the opportunities to learn and to develop to their fullest potentials. The pursuit of educational equity recognizes the historical conditions and barriers that have prevented opportunity and success in learning for students based on their races, incomes, and other social conditions. Eliminating those structural and institutional barriers requires systemic change that allows for the distribution of resources, information, and other support depending on student needs to ensure an equitable outcome. Equity is different from inequality. Equity is a principle that is based on justice and fairness, while equality demands everyone be treated at the same level. The Office of American Indian Education is dedicated to all of these commitments. So this afternoon, we'll be talking a little bit about some data and information about our American Indian students. We'll look at some of the statutory requirements we have and a little bit more information on how the Office of American Indian Education operates and what we do. The Office of American Indian Education values our relationships with American Indian students, their parents, and the communities they come from. We understand and value the complex history of the systems of education we work in, and the need to close the cycle of ignorance in districts, schools, and amongst ourselves. We start with our district and school staff, administration, and school boards. We work diligently with our tribal nations and communities, as well as our parents and guardians of American Indian students. We lift up and encourage the best practices and partnerships across Minnesota so that American Indian students will reach their full potential in their school communities through meaningful, equitable, and targeted educational experiences that affirms and values their unique cultural identities. The Office of American Indian Education works with each of the 11 tribal nations and communities in Minnesota, individually and collectively. Additionally, we work with the Minnesota Chippewa Tribe and the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council, the Phillips Indian Educators, and Urban Indigenous Education Advocates to listen and to understand the needs of our communities and therefore our students. Here you can see a few data points relevant to the work we do. There are nearly 30,000 American Indian students in Minnesota, and we know they have unique cultural and academic needs. We all need to do better, and that starts with me and with all of you working together towards legislation that ensures our American Indian students receive the best possible education in Minnesota and that their needs are met by districts and schools. While we understand the vast majority of our American Indian students attend public school, we are also acutely aware of our four tribal contract schools here in Minnesota and work to address the educational context of our American Indian students no matter where they attend school. To address their unique cultural and academic needs of our American Indian students, the state offers funding to provide programs for our students and families. American Indian Education Aid began in 2017, and we currently have 173 districts or schools that are eligible for this funding. This is based in statute, and we'll discuss it a little further in a further slide. But for now, we have nearly $12 million to fund the 173 eligible districts, charter, and tribal contract schools. This amount of funding is necessary to provide a basic foundation of programming. As we look into the data, we can see that American Indian students do not have the same rate of educational success as their peers. The graduation rate is only one data point of many that show American Indian students have been marginalized. Excuse me. And continue to struggle.
Take your time.
Within our systems of education. Okay, I really am. Mm-hmm. Although many student groups are excelling, our American Indian students continue to have the lowest graduation rates in Minnesota. This is and has been the case for many years. We hear from students, from parents, from tribal nations that this is unacceptable. We agree. The statistics 50 years ago are the same or nearly the same as they are today. This is a crisis we must address through legislation and through the difficult but courageous conversations to close the achievement gap that is affecting American Indian student outcomes. In 1988, the governor, alongside the legislature, found that a more adequate education is necessary. This set of statutes is called the Indian Education Act of 1988. This has been in place for 35 years now. We are asking schools and districts to raise awareness and to look at the contextual data, and we are working to assist them in figuring out what works, no matter if it is one school, rural, urban, and regardless of zip code. Either way, this is the foundational statute for American Indian education programming. So for our American Indian education programs, we have statutes that describe the American Indian education programs and what they are designed to do. Our work in this area and within our programs covers all of the six items in this statute, and we fully support rigorous programs that are held to high standards. Our team reviews the program plans and suggests revisions. If necessary, we support schools and districts to strengthen and promote positive experiences and educational outcomes for our students statewide. With the understanding that 173 districts and/or schools are eligible for funding and to provide specific programming for American Indian students, the Office of American Indian Education reminds districts and schools with a consistent message that they are to address the needs of every single student that walks through their doors. American Indian Education dollars are to support what districts already have in place for all students. Districts and schools sometimes need assistance to understand the differences between the intent of all of the programs they have, and the Office of American Indian Education works to affirm that districts have many sources of funds to better serve all students. This is most often where we would discuss with districts the difference between equity and equality. The Office of American Indian Education Works appreciates the work of this committee to support the needs of our American Indian students across Minnesota, and we are committed to ensuring positive outcomes for the students that need it the most. Our American Indian Education program plans outlined the varied programs that are provided for American Indian students. Our team looks for well-rounded programming that encompasses both academic and cultural needs. Statutes within the Indian Education Act of 1988 include the American Indian Parent Committee working in collaboration with the district to best identify student needs. Parents hear what their children say about school, about how their students do feel or do not feel a part of the school community, about how the lessons on American Indian history are or are not taught in classrooms, and what their students need from their educational settings. The plans are designed to assess how the district will incorporate the parent voice and address the needs of American Indian students, and that includes goals, procedures, staffing, measurement of progress or lack thereof. We need to work together to increase the visibility of and incorporate the voice of parents and guardians of American Indian students. If programs are working, let's lift up and shine a light on what works. Too often, American Indian students and their families are viewed from a deficit lens, rather than looking at the unique gifts each and every student comes to school with. The Office of American Indian Education, through statutes, also consults with tribal governments to listen to the needs of each tribal nation and community. The implication from this statute provide a solid foundation for next steps and for decisions on programs and policies from the Minnesota Department of Education. We are fully committed to this work and value the crucial input and feedback from tribal leaders that drive our work as well. The Office of American Indian Education also has statutory consultations with the Tribal Nations Education Committee, which is comprised of MIAC-approved education specialists for each of the 11 tribal nations. We also have two positions for the metro area, Minneapolis and St. Paul, and one from Duluth. We have worked to build our relationship with the Tribal Nations Education Committee, and we are continuously working with our commissioner to build and enhance a positive relationship between the commissioner and TNEC. MDE holds listening sessions yearly to hear the issues and concerns of American Indian students, parents, and community members so that we can formulate policies to improve the educational outcomes and programs and procedures that address the concerns of the community. Additionally, the Office of American Indian Education works with 37 districts or schools under the federal Every Student Succeeds Act. Any district that receives $40,000 in Title VI dollars or has an American Indian student population of 50% or more is included in these consultations. We have been conducting these federal consultations since 2018, and alongside the Tribal Nations Education Committee, we work through a lot of information pertaining to all of the funds districts receive and how these funds are used to improve outcomes for our students. So with all of the information you've received today and all of the testimony from all of the folks who live and breathe Indian education, the Office of American Indian Education within MDE is working diligently to close the achievement gap and to provide programming and policies to strengthen and promote positive experiences and educational outcomes for all of our students statewide. Although this presentation does not include all of the work we do, it is imperative that we work alongside you to have American Indian students reach their full potentials within their school communities through meaningful, equitable, and targeted educational experiences that affirms and values their unique cultural identities. Our duties include and are made possible by consulting with tribal nations as partners in this work. The Office of American Indian Education provides guidance, technical assistance, advisement, resources, and best practices for all levels of educators, from students to parents to teachers and administrators, superintendents and school boards as well. We ask for your help in passing the proposed legislation that will help build a better future for our American Indian learners. Our team now includes 6 members, down from the 12 that existed in the early 2000s. But we are up from 2 staff last year. We cannot do this work in isolation, nor can we assist districts without your help. Your support of our proposals will bring us closer to having a direct impact on the outcomes for American Indian students. And with that, I humbly thank you for listening to this information, and I am available to answer any questions you might have regarding the Office of American Indian Education. Miigwech. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation, for helping us understand better this resource that we have available in the Department of Education. And as we think what we can do as a legislative body to have an impact to close these gaps, we know that you're there. So members, we are available for questions right now. Chair Youakim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a quick one that I just want to make sure I heard you at the end. In the early 2000s, you had 12 folks, and then last year we're down to 2.
Yes, in the early 2000s,
Dr. Harstad.
Oh, Madam Chair, I'm sorry, Madam Chair and committee members, we had 12 members, and we had satellite offices in Bemidji and Duluth, and that was cut to nothing at one point, and now we are working our way back up to where we would feel is appropriate for addressing not only the achievement gap, but the outcomes for our American Indian students as they stand today.
Thank you. Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes. Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dr. Harstad, can you talk a bit about what the office lost in terms of impact and effectiveness when you went from those 12 folks down to 1?
Yes, Dr. Harstad. Madam Chair and committee. I will say that with the lower amount of staff, we were not able to do an adequate job for our students. We could cover the various programs that we have in place, but we couldn't do an in-depth job that was what I feel it wasn't good enough. And we did our best to stretch ourselves and to do all the work that needed to be done. It wasn't easy, but I'm stubborn, and good thing the folks that we hired were stubborn as well. But we lost some good employees over that as well. And so moving back towards that, we'd like to be able to address more of the issues that we hear about from parents, from students, from tribal leaders, and from TNEC, and to be able to address those concerns with the level of discretion that's needed for our American Indian students who have been left behind this entire time. Thank you.
Frazier?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for that. Yeah, I just want to note that I know that during those times, those were some tough fiscal times for the state. And what often happens is that we disinvest in the things that we need the most at those times. And so I'm hopeful that we'll invest more moving forward, and that when we have tough times again, that we don't balance the budget on the backs of those that need it the most. Thank you.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just wondering if we can go back to the presentation and look at slide 7 on the graduation rates. I'm wondering if we could maybe talk a little bit about the disparities and look at the rates between 2018 and 2019, where there was like a really stark decline. And I was curious if you wanted to talk more about that.
Dr. Harstad.
Madam Chair and Committee, this slide shows the graduation rates from 2017 until 2021. And as you can see, our American Indian students are at the very bottom of the graph. And in thinking about how this is being shown, Minnesota used to be a leader in Indian education in the during the civil rights and directly after. And this is, I believe, a direct result of the Office of American Indian Education being at first disbanded and now building ourselves back up. I think it's hard to look at this and say that we're doing a good job, and we need the resources to be able to address this graduation rate, and we need the resources not only in funding but in human resources to be able to get to a place where every American Indian student in Minnesota is doing as well as their peers.
Okay. All right. I've seen no other questions at this point. Thank you for this information, for the explanation, for the work that you do. And, you know, I think that we want to be partners in our shared mission, which I think you just stated, that every student that we have, every American Indian student that we have, achieves at the same rate, or not higher, maybe higher. That's maybe realistic, too, but we have a long ways to go. And we'll take all of us and all of our attention and all of our focus and commitment to that goal. All right. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
So that is our agenda for today. Appreciate all of you that are here today to participate. Appreciate people that may watch this at a later time also. We are canceled tomorrow, and I think everybody knows that. We already have plans now for finding some makeup time for the bills that we would have heard tomorrow the following week. We're getting the final information on when that time is going to be available for folks, and we'll get that out as soon as we're able to. So other than that, we've got some snow days. And if you had a test that you weren't ready for, you got another day to prepare for it. And with that, I think that we're adjourned right now. Thank you, committee.